5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Overtime.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Overtime, your weekly source for all things Overwatch. I'm your host, Jacob Hujic, and with me today is Brandon Williams. That's not right. I read the name on the notes. It's Taylor Severn.
You're my gift this year, Jacob.
No Brandon today, even though he is in the show notes. No Brandon today. But we got some stuff to talk about. First of all, Doomfist is not live. Can you believe it, Taylor?
No, I refuse to believe that. I could have sworn I was playing him just earlier today.
Maybe. I mean, you can, but not in live.
Or maybe it was a fever dream. Who knows?
Probably. Well, I mean, you didn't sleep. No, you slept all day. That's what it was. After not sleeping the day before. So maybe. Could have been a fever dream.
Yeah, no, I just... You can't explain that.
Yes, no Doomfist yet. I was pretty much expecting him to come out a week after his PTR launch, but he was still pretty buggy. I think they're still testing a couple things.
Also,
I would assume next week, Tuesday?
Another reason why it wouldn't be... He wouldn't have been released. He didn't have... It was just Doomfist was in the PTR. None of his,
skins and tags and
cosmetic
stuff?
Cosmetic things is what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I don't think they really have to test that, though. I'm still trying to...
You'd
I don't
be surprised.
Think... Yeah, oh yeah, like, they want to test that, like, all the animations don't clip, or the tags... Yeah, I guess you're right. You're absolutely right there. But, yeah, I played him a little bit more. He's definitely... My opinion on him hasn't changed drastically. He's definitely a, you know, Reaper, Genji mix. Definitely very, very strong.
Or maybe he's his own person?
No, he's just Genji and Reaper's love child. One clarification from last week. We were talking about how his ultimate may or may not have an indicator. So I figured it out. Basically, if your target area is close to an enemy, they will start to see it on the ground. But if they're farther away, they don't see it. So it does give them some warning, which
is
nice.
That's good. My complaints... I'm glad Blizzard heard my complaints and changed that.
They patched it in. As soon as they put up the episode, they patched it in. That's exactly what happened. Other than that, a lot of people have kind of been likening his playstyle to a bit of a fighting game, which I thought was interesting. The fact that all of his abilities kind of combo together. You can use the uppercut and the seismic slam to kind of get more distance and increase the damage on it, or you can do the rocket punch with the uppercut and any other combination of the three. And it flows together very well, which I thought was interesting and actually makes a lot of sense when you start to play him. So I'm excited for him to get into the game.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see what his different skins are. That'll be fun.
You have not seen them.
No, yeah, that is true. That is a factual statement. Actual factual.
He has one where he's like a robot, and that's cool. Looks cool.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not. Have you seen them?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at them right now. He has a really cool skin tint. It's an epic one, but it's where he has like tattoos all over him, and it just looks really awesome. But yeah, where really? He's like a robot, and he kind of looks like Colossus from the X-Men with a giant metal arm.
Oh my goodness, look at that. How have I not seen this?
Yeah, he became more machine than man now.
Is there one where he's just straight up Darth Vader? Yeah, some of the, some of these are really, really cool. And there he looks like, Colossus.
Yeah.
And there he looks like, I don't know, some weird demon. Those are some pretty cool skins. I will link those in the show notes for our audience to look at. I would love to hear what your guys' favorite skin is, because these are pretty cool. Right, so moving on from Doomfist, the Overwatch World Cup is really picking up. There's more and more news about it. This Friday, the 14th of July, will be the first games of the World Cup tournament, I believe. And they're going to be taking place in China. This will be the Chinese group playing, if I can just pull up who it is. It'll be China, South Korea, whoops. Sorry, China, Hong Kong, Norway, and Romania.
And so the four China... of them will do a four-way round-robin kind of battle to determine who wins out of that segment, right?
Did you want to explain round-robin, not just to our audience, but also kind of to me? Like, I understand how the format works in a superficial sense, but I don't know the actual mechanics.
No, I can't.
Because you're in the same position as me?
No.
I believe what happens... I physically cannot. I will blow up. As far as I understand, it's basically everyone plays against each other. Whoever has the most wins at the end of it, and the most points, continues on. And the others don't. I believe it's the top two?
Yeah, top two of each segment. So there are two divisions happening in China, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's in the other division as well?
Actually, it might just be... It just might be Group A. I'm trying to see...
They might not play on that day, but I know... I believe there are two divisions in China that will be doing at the Chinese place.
Yeah, because there's only four locations, right? The games will be played in China, Australia. No, sorry, in Sweden, in South Korea, and Poland. Am I right about that?
I know Poland is one.
Poland is definitely one of them. Poland actually has a pretty good esports.
Like, I mean, it says right on the page, so now I'm bringing up the page to correct you.
China, Australia, Poland, and the United States. There you go. We got it. We did it. We nailed it. Right. So I'm assuming that it'll be Group A and Group B playing in China.
Group B is France, Denmark, Thailand, and Argentina.
Yes. So, again, China is ranked number one in the world right now. France is considered by many to be one of the top runners for taking the whole tournament. They're currently ranked 8th. Some other interesting ones for our listeners, and if I miss your country, I'm sorry. Canada, for us, is ranked 7. South Korea is ranked 2. The United States is ranked 3. United Kingdom is 6. And Poland, my home country, is 18th, which is awesome.
The drinking age!
In Poland, I think the drinking age might be 70.
Four.
I'm not sure.
It's 4 years old.
Four? Yeah. Well, for some of us. But yeah, that'll be exciting to watch. I'm excited to start hearing more news about Overwatch, an actual competitive stuff. Because, like I've mentioned, I've fallen off watching competitive Overwatch. I'm excited to get back into it, especially for. Like, the big, this is the Blizzard World Tournament stuff. Cheering on a country is always more
I think
exciting.
Another point to stand out, it's not just like, oh, Overwatch, I don't care about. It's more, you don't watch a lot of pro games of any game, right? Right now?
That's true. I used to watch, back in the day, I used to watch StarCraft obsessively. Basically every day I would be watching either replays or a tournament. And then when I moved on to Heroes of the Storm, I watched a lot of that, and still do every now and then.
Yeah, so it's not for lack of interest in Overwatch, it's just...
Lack of time.
Pro scene, it's just lack of watching things in general.
Yes, exactly. So I'm excited to try and get back into it with Overwatch, because the little that I watched, it is exciting, again, a little bit disorienting. But I feel like they can fix a lot of the problems with it. So yeah, that's
the World
kind of Overwatch
Cup.
World Cup.
But we also have some news about the owl.
Oh my god, that's the actual name, isn't it? That's super great. Have you finished your owls yet?
This is the Overwatch League.
Mm-hmm, that's that big Crusher 99 announcement from way back when. So there's been more news from it recently, lots of kind of... journalism, stuff like, this is how much the teams cost. About 20 million, by the way. But they finally announced which cities will have their designated team. Most of these have been purchased by traditional sports owners. Although a couple of the teams were purchased by primarily esports leagues, such as Immortals, which was pretty exciting that they could raise that much funds.
So right now we have 7 teams, right?
I believe it is 8. the cities are exclusively from America and, America, China, and South Korea. The cities individually are Boston, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Miami, Orlando, Shanghai, and Seoul.
So if you're keeping count, that's 7.
8.
It's Boston, New York, Los Angeles, Shanghai, Seoul,
you're
San
missing
Francisco.
San Fran. Oh, Miami, Orlando, Shanghai, Seoul.
Miami, Orlando is one team.
No.
Yes.
No.
I'm seeing the thing right here.
What?
And the announcement.
Wait, what?
Welcome to our initial 7 teams.
I mean, I'm not reading that. I didn't read that. I thought Miami and Orlando are one. What?
Yeah.
But for American listeners, I don't know if Orlando is a state. No, it's not a state. It's a city in Florida. Same with Miami. That's the capital. I know that at least. Whatever. I don't think it particularly matters. Those are where the games are going to be played. That's esports. There's our esports segment.
Those are where the teams are based.
Those are where the teams are based. Yes.
So yeah.
So they're going to be playing against each other. I'm sure they'll be adding more before the season starts.
Yeah, apparently some of the American teams have quite a few European players as well. So Europe is still kind of represented, but not really.
Yes. Blizzard is still in the process of establishing like all the rules for how do you designate who can play where and like how can you swap players, how can you drop players. They've already mentioned some rules for relegation, which is basically like, if your team is sucking, then are you penalized for it? Are you taken out of the league for a season? Different rules. It seems more or less they're being pretty lax with it. They're letting the teams kind of build up. They can trade players a bit more freely because it is the first season. None of that, infrastructure is established, but they're also trying to protect the players as much as possible. Making sure they're getting guaranteed incomes and stuff like that. So it is pretty exciting stuff that's happening there. Still, I can't... Like, I just want this to, like... When's the start date? What are all the teams? Who can I root for? Because right now I'm looking at this... I don't know. I don't have any skin in the game, really.
I mean, but, you can almost throw a stone to Boston from here.
Yeah, Boston is the closest to USA, but... I mean, I guess I'd go for San Fran. Why not? Seoul or Shanghai, because they're probably going to be just monsters at the game.
Yeah, I have no idea. Is the meta different in South Korea or Asia, do you know?
Yes. I don't know specifically how, but they're... In almost every game, the meta in South Korea and in China is vastly different to the American and European scenes, which tend to be pretty close, depending on the game.
It's weird. Like, we call him Baron, they call him Nasher. It makes no sense.
None at all. Especially to me. but yeah, that's the Overwatch League news. Hopefully more detailed announcements in the future.
The Owl news for this week, guys.
Oh, we need to get like a sweet bumper for that.
Like a sports segment for Owls.
It'll just be sports!
Or, you know, something better than that.
No. If Cox and Crendor can do it that way, so can we.
No, they theirs is a lot better than that.
Oh yeah, it is. We'll get a Whoppy bot, it'll be great. We're plugging for another show aside.
Stop referencing more popular things than us.
Much better things than us, yeah. Right, so in other news, this is a little bit older, so I guess I shouldn't call it news. It'll be our discussion topic. Again, cue the bumper that we don't have. Jeff posted on the Overwatch forums a while back regarding meta, and this isn't the previous meta discussion. This was his personal opinions on how Blizzard should balance the game, specifically on whether they should balance characters who are over and under picked for the expressed purpose of changing up the meta that many people see as stale. Currently, we are in a bit of a dive meta, at least according to, you know, high-ranking players. Lower ranks don't really have a defined meta. But Jeff's response to this was basically that there was a couple interesting tidbits, first of all, on how the balanced team works, and that although Jeff is the game director, he is the one, like, in charge of the game, his decision, like, he has a bit of a kind of, not democracy, but a tribunal of different developers and balance people that he talks to, and they all kind of come to a consensus on what should go into the game. Although he has final say, he generally kind of refers to what the group is thinking.
And so the way it works is Jeff has them fight the tribunal because, like, actual fight, because Jeff can't fight, because if you fight with Jeff, you get death.
Blizzard can't hire that many people.
Yeah, and so that's why Jeff has the tribunal, so people can fight them. And that's, he'll take knowledge from that.
Yes. It's actually, he doesn't actually listen to whoever wins. The knowledge is just infused into his body from the vigor of the combat.
It does a fancy level up noise and effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's quite the spectacle. It's pretty great. Marvelous technology. So this post that we're going to be talking about and not making really weird jokes, is his personal opinion. And in his personal opinion, he does not want to be changing characters just to shake up the meta. I would love for you guys, we've got the forum post linked in our show notes if you want to go check it out. But basically, the core point that we want to talk about is whether we think it's okay to shake with the meta just for that sake, not to fix a character that's overpowered or underpowered.
That's strongly.
Taylor, did you have any specific opinions on this?
Well, I think we have very simple opinions, and to call it a discussion is a bit boisterous.
Well, considering we have to fill a show, we're going to talk about it.
Worthy of the opinion, we agree with Jeff. It's like, yeah, no, don't change things, just change things.
Yeah, like, it's interesting to me, coming from two Blizzard games, and the three of them, that being StarCraft, Heroes, and Overwatch, had very different opinions on how to balance. In a sense. In StarCraft, it was very much about, if something is broken, obviously we'll fix it, which is very similar to how Jeff is kind of approaching Overwatch. They would have the expansion, which would introduce new characters, and they'd spend the first couple months, like, really trying to fix things, and then once they had everything balanced, you know, within the last year to 6 months of the game's life, not even 6 months, I would say 4 months or less of the game's life before the next expansion, things would be very, very stale. And not exactly stagnant, because the game, they had gotten the game to the point where many different strategies were viable. The time before that was, everything was kind of crazy, and people were like, oh, do, you know, not lurker builds, what were they called? The guys, they burrow underground and they spawn units. Do that, a Zerg, because it's just the best and it's overpowered. And that was the meta, the Zerg meta, for months. And they were very scared to do any drastic changes to the game at that point. In Heroes, especially right now, they make changes to the characters fairly frequently. They introduce characters very, very often as well. And with those character introductions, they usually redo a character, sometimes very, very significantly. And in some cases, it's characters who the community thought was fine, either from a win rate perspective. Obviously, we don't have access to those numbers, but they thought from a win rate perspective they were fine, or in how they played, they were like, you know, they were fun to play and they weren't seen as oppressive by the community. But the Heroes team thought that they needed to fix it because...
Can you name one hero that the community thought was okay?
ETC.
I don't know about that rework.
That
seems ETC, like a long time ago.
No, it was fairly recent. It was about a month ago. Basically, they changed his trait and a bunch of his talents. They thought he was a little bit oppressive and did things a little too well. The community thought that between him and Murden as kind of the main tanks, they were fine with that, the community. But Blizzard, I think it's pretty apparent to me, didn't like having main tanks. They wanted the tanks to be very different and niche. That's where they want the game to be. And ETC and Murden were too good. Specifically ETC. I played ETC a lot. He was... You can kind of throw him into any group and he would kind of do well. He wouldn't always win, but he had enough in his toolkit to kind of work with it. And they just didn't like that, so they changed it.
Well, which is kind of going against... It's like, he was broken, but the community was okay with that.
Mm-mm. His win rates weren't broken.
It's so just win the rate's the only thing that matters in someone being broken.
I'm not trying to say that this was the right or the wrong thing to do. I'm just saying that this is what they did. The community thought ETC is fine, he's fun to play, and he's not winning too much. Why change him? Blizzard thought differently. They changed ETC. Unfortunately, unlike many of the other characters that they've changed, ETC has fallen way off the pick rates. People don't play him. Many people who do, and myself included, don't find him very fun right now. And his win rates are pretty bad. So that's probably not the best example of like, hey, just change things up for change sake.
I don't think they did that.
They did it to try and make the game better and do their vision, like I said, to make all the tanks niche. But that's kind of the philosophy of the Heroes team. Like, let's do some changes. Like let's try and even if the characters' win rates are pretty even, let's just kind of try and shake things up to see if we can make it better. What Jeff is saying in this post is basically, at least in his opinion, all the characters are pretty balanced right now, with the exceptions of maybe Torben Symmetra, which I thought was interesting. Definitely Symmetra I can see being a little bit overpowered.
I'd say Jeff has the same opinion of what you're saying the Heroes team had.
Well, Jeff was saying that if all the heroes have good win rates, they're not going to mess around trying to change things so that they're picked more often. If Symmetra or Winston have really, really low pick rates but balanced win rates, they would leave it alone. The Heroes team, and I'm pretty sure they've expressly said this, they would want to kind of bring up some characters who aren't picked very often or aren't very fun. Sorry, not fun, because I think Overwatch team would also make this change. But they seem much more ready to make a change to a character who isn't picked as much to bring him up, even if maybe his win rates were okay. Which I think is very, very interesting that...
I think he does say he wants to, like, more balance Symmetra.
Yes, Symmetra, but that's because, in his opinion, she has a high win... Well, I don't think in his opinion, sorry. He says... from the statistics, Torbjorn and Symmetra are not good. And I believe he implies or says it's because they're too powerful. Symmetra's pick rate is very low right now. That's not what I'm talking about.
If I'm concerned about Symmetra's balance and worried that when she does eventually make her way back to the meta and she's not balanced properly.
Yeah, because she's
balancing
not...
heroes who are unbalanced is good. Balancing heroes to make them picked more or less is not good.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I don't think the Heroes team did... I think they thought ETC was unbalanced.
There was also the recent change with Zul. I don't think he was... Like, again, I think he was more or less an even win rate. But then again, I think they changed that just because the Necromancer was coming out, so they kind of wanted to refresh.
I don't think they care about win rates. That, like, this is talking, like, beside win rates, they are unbalanced.
You're talking about they being Symmetra and Torbjorn?
I'm talking about any character that... Ignore win rates. A character can be unbalanced with a really shitty win rate. Like, that's just... That's why he doesn't want to, like, change Symmetra into just, like, buffing her numbers. He'd rather balance her first before, like, or he'd rather balance something rather than just put bump up like numbers or something. There was a League of Legends character named Karma. And for the longest time, she was low win rate, no one cared. And that's because Riot essentially nerfed her to the ground because she was so unbalanced that if she could do anything successfully in her kit, she would break the game completely. And so when they eventually just had to rework her completely as a new character, more or less. A lot of people were upset. Essentially, the character was just so unbalanced that they needed to do the balancing first.
Okay,
and
I
didn't matter if
you're...
that win rate, her current win rate was a thing.
Yes. Or pick rate. But I think the one thing that goes against your statement is that Jeff says, Symmetra and Torbjorn's win rates are not balanced. They are too good. So they feel that... like they are winning more often than they're losing, but because no one's picking them for a variety of reasons, they're kind of staying under the radar, and that's why they're kind of looking at them right now to like, do we have to change these characters? And they don't want to do anything too drastic yet, because if the meta changes, they might get gooder, but they might get better or worse. They might get better or worse. With that. So they kind of want to make these changes very, very slowly to them and kind of see where they want to go.
I still have the firm opinion Jeff and the Heroes team more or less have the same... I'm not going to say, same opinion, but what they did with it and what Jeff is talking about is the same.
Okay. Well, then I think we'll just have to disagree on that one. But moving on to what Jeff is doing with Overwatch, yes, like we said... they are much more interested in making sure the game is balanced. And Jeff's personal opinion, he doesn't want to shift the meta, force a shift in the meta, either by introducing new mechanics in the game or changing up the characters, unless they really have to because a character has become completely oppressive due to them just being too strong or way too weak. If the community just doesn't like them because they're like, oh no, it's a dive meta, so don't use Ana, whatever. Even if Ana's win rates are good, then that's fine. Even if she's picked 2% of the time. Is kind of what Jeff's saying. And I would tend to agree with that. As much as I like in Heroes how often the game changes, for whatever the reason, they are adding new heroes and they are reworking heroes for whatever reason. Overwatch is a different game. It's not a MOBA Dota-style game. It is a much more limited hero pool. I think they want to keep it that. This is never going to be a game where there's 100 characters. I don't even think this is going to be a game where there's 50 characters. It's going to stay around, I want to say, 30, I think, will be the limit. And people have to remember that in these types of games, kind of like shooters, especially a game like TF2, there was kind of the established meta where you would pick, he mentions it in the article, you would pick specific characters even though there was a much wider cast. And people were just kind of okay with that. If you wanted to get crazier, if you were, an engineer main in TF2, then you could do that. But most people would play those other specific classes. And I think that's kind of where they want Overwatch to be. People really, really like playing Soldier. People really, really like playing Mercy. For a variety of reasons. So if there is that one weird guy who likes to play Symmetra or Orisa, hi, it's me, let them do it. As long as their win rates are okay, it doesn't matter if they're underpicked. If the meta is a dive comp, metas just evolve naturally, even if they don't change. And they will change, especially once Doomfist comes in. When a new map comes in, the meta will change, and people innovate, like he mentions in the article. The meta will change. I don't think it's going to change quite as often as a game like Dota because they're not introducing new elements as often. And I think that's just fine. That's the type of game it is. To those people who kind of want it to change more, I don't know what to tell you. This is Jeff's thinking. Like he said, this is just his personal opinion if the rest of the team disagrees. But obviously this carries a fair bit of weight. If you really don't like the dive meta, try figuring out a strategy that works against it, because it's going to stay here for probably the next month or so. And then it'll go away, in all likelihood. I think the team, I can't remember if this was the team that said it, or maybe it was a commentator on the game, that as far as metas go, the dive meta isn't that bad. I mean, the triple tank is kind of oppressive. It led to some fairly long games, and because there's a much more limited selection of tank characters, and then it was just Ana and Lucio as the healers, it got kind of boring. Whereas with the dive meta, like, you're seeing, at least from, you know, where this actually matters in high competitive, you're seeing really fun characters to watch, like Genji and Tracer, and even Winston. And the characters around that can change much more frequently, I feel like, than in some of the other metas we've been in. So long rambling story short, I think that I personally like where the game is at right now. The characters are balanced. I don't want them to mess around with it to try and shake things up just for the sake of that. I feel like we're in a pretty good spot right now. Especially with on the eve of Doomfist coming in and really moving things around potentially, because again, he will be played. He's not going to be like Orisa and like, oh, how does she work? Oh, she's weird. I don't like her. He's definitely going to be in the game and be moving stuff around. Although I guess he would kind of be contributing to the dive meta. Regardless. Yeah, that's kind of my rant ramble fest on Jeff's post. Again, I would urge you guys to read it. Please send in your thoughts on it. We would love to hear about it. I think that pretty much does it for today's episode. Taylor, was there anything else you wanted to bring up?
Nope.
Excellent. In that case, if you guys like what you heard here today, oh my goodness, I've said this so many times, you'd think I'd have it right. If you like what you heard here today, please consider subscribing or giving us a rating on iTunes or whatever podcasting catcher you use. 5-star reviews on iTunes are extremely helpful. They really, really help the show grow, but obviously give whatever you think the show deserves. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at @OW_overtime. And you can also email us any of your comments or questions to owovertime@gmail.com. That's owovertime@gmail.com. That's all the time we have. So for me and Taylor, we will see you guys next time.
It's more just, yeah, you know.
A feeling. It's more of a feeling.
Oh, ooh, what a feeling when I'm dancing on the ceiling.
That's going to go in at the end of the show.